We're going to spend a lot of time thinking about how morality grows out of our personality and psychology, right? So we're going to also focus on justice, so we'll need to understand that and some theories of justice. One topic that I think we'll do together this term, a lot of times I like students to choose their own topics, and we have two opportunities, so one you'll probably choose your topic, this one we'll probably all write on the same topic, is to figure out what your position on our obligations to people in absolute poverty is. What do we owe people in absolute poverty, if anything? And so that's going to be a process where we're writing a paper and we're going to share it with each other, and I'll describe how that works. Another focus in this course that you don't always get in an ethics class is how are personal moralities and political moralities connected, right? Our political views grow out of our personalities in similar ways as our moral commitments, right? They're not always the same package, but they're often consistent, right? So when we study the psychology of morality, we're also going to be studying the psychology of political difference. And that's a really important thing to be thinking about today, right? Because political differences can be harmonious or polarized. They can work for a society or a group, right? Or they can work against it. You've all probably been in small groups that had to accomplish something. Sometimes the diversity of the group is an asset, and sometimes it's a liability, right? So when you're living in a society where people have very strong moral and political commitments, what is the relationship between those two things? They're clearly related. Not completely, like your personal morality doesn't tell you what your political morality is, but they're often related. So what are those differences like? And really 10 and 11, 11's a new question in the course, and 10 is a really important question today as well. How should I think about people who have different values than me? The old answer was, you should consider the possibility that you're right and they're wrong. There are a lot of really good new answers to that question. And that question is, again, extremely relevant today, if it's not obvious, right? I should do this little nonverbal exercise. We'll do this in just a second. It is obvious, right, why it's really important today for us to figure out how to think about people we encounter who have different values than ours, and to think outside the I'm right and they're wrong, right? And then finally, I won't say much about 11. It's a new question. I'm thinking about it now, and it'll come into the chorus. But, is there something universal about being civilized? It's just something I'm getting into. I'm tempted to start us talking about it now, but I won't. I'll resist. Okay. All right. But here we need to do this little nonverbal exercise now. This is really crucial because... it's really important in this environment when we're trying to do philosophy together that we're all constantly communicating with each other. But nonverbal is the way to do it, right? Because it would be a cacophony if we all start talking about this, right? But one thing I need and one thing a lot of faculty need is a little bit of feedback as we go through the class. And so I'm going to recommend three gestures that we need to kind of be able to use in nonverbal communication. Okay, I think they're familiar to you. The first is to kind of give me an idea that things are going okay, that you're getting a point, that I could keep moving, I shouldn't back up, slow down, go over things again. And I'm going to recommend that you use this gesture for that. Okay? Which you know means yes, assent. Things are okay. Okay, can we do this on three? One, two, three. Good, very slow. Just a slow nod. You know, you can communicate a lot of different things, by the way. You do not get exercise, right? So that's good. Can we do it one more time? One, two, three. I want to see yes. I want to see, yeah, I'm getting it. Keep going. Yeah, you could do that. That'd be okay. Yeah, good. Right. Yeah. You need that. I need that reassurance because it's kind of annoying when somebody keeps repeating. So you can kind of move me along. It's like a little remote control on your professor. It's wonderful. Okay, we're going to also do this one. We want to indicate no. Okay, guess what we're going to do. On three, ready? One, two, three. So when I say things like, is that clear? You have at least two options. And you can actually do things that are in between, like yes and no. You know, isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah, that could be that. Worked out. Yeah, yes and no. You just look like a bobblehead, you know. Okay, so here's the one we need to practice a little more, and it's confusion. I want you to practice showing puzzlement and confusion and being lost. And this happens a lot in philosophy classes, okay? The problem is, in your social lives, you've learned a very powerful lesson, which is try never to look clueless, right? That's kind of like for many of you, it's like, there's a kind of a social pressure, am I right? To try to, and you can use your nonverbal one, to kind of look like you got it together, like you know what's going on. So expressing confusion is something I find we need to practice, because it's not something you do naturally, because you want to look cool and together and like no knowledge. So I want this half of the room to start by showing this half of the room your best look of puzzlement and confusion. So take a minute and think about it. You've each got like two or three looks, right? You could draw on, you know? You've been puzzled in different ways. And we're going to kind of evaluate. If we're not happy with them, we'll make them do it again. But, okay, so wait a minute. Let's see. With the rolly chairs, we have to kind of figure out where... It looks like this is in the line of scrimmage. But should we just... Wait, which... Okay, let's make this our order, okay? So... You guys ready? On three. One, two. You cannot laugh while you're becoming puzzled. That's sadness. That's like pouting. That's like, okay, ready? One, two, three.
Eyebrows raised.
Yeah. Come on. There we go. Sustained confusion. That's good. Kind of like a musical note that holds for a bar.
I just
want to
look at my mouth.
Okay, a few of you just kind of looked like nothing. Like you weren't doing anything. Could we just do this one more time? Could you guys watch them? Call out people who are just like faking confusion. They're all faking. Okay, one, two, three. Yeah, good. That's good. The shoulder shrug helps. What were you doing? Do yours.
Oh, I was just like...
Okay. Yeah?
Okay.
A guy confused. There are gendered confused looks. Isn't that cool?
Like, that's like very guy confused.
Yeah, that is a guy confused look. See, you've just been like totally gender staring. So hard. It's good. See if we can pick out a... Now we can balance it by seeing if we can pick out a typically stereotypically female look of confusion. Maybe you can... Okay, could we get it together here? You ready? On three. We're going to do this on three. You ready? Maybe we toss. Okay. We have everybody's expression here. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah. That was good. That was like a what the heck. You want to make a point.
I see now.
Did you do a good job?
No.
All right, one more time. One more time. One, two, three. Eyebrows are really powerful. Okay, see, you get my point. I mean, we can be very interactive even without everybody talking at the same time. And it can really help in terms of keeping the class from bogging down on something. You know, you can communicate a lot. And okay, let's do that. All right, let's move away from the course content and get into some practical stuff and then see if we can move through this efficiently. Get you guys to your dinner. How are you guys going to manage dinner? Is dinner's after class? Is that the right thing? Okay, at this point, you might want to jot a couple of things down. I do have a handout to give you that has a lot of this information, but you might want to make a note on the handout, or you might want to write a note or two on your own. Not really Rose? Oh, sorry.
Are you going to explain like the relevance of that?
That picture is, do you know where that picture is from? Do you recognize it?
Donuts place. Donut parade.
Yeah.
Donut parade?
Yeah.
Yes, the donut parade has been there.
The donut parade's been there since the 60s. The guy who made the donuts most of that time retired a few years ago. A guy named Vic. Yeah, I haven't had one of their donuts in a long time, but. Are they closed? Oh. So now it's a historic thing. They closed. That's great. There's no way to get back in. That's great. Thank you. All right, there are two websites in the class. You can get to both of them from alfino.org. So I'm going to recommend that you do that initially. You might want to bookmark them at some point. Alfino.org kind of resolves into what you're seeing here, GUWeb2.Gonzaga, so it's a little easier to remember. The one website is the wiki, and so on this handout, you'll see that that's the first one that's identified. Most of the time you access the wiki, you won't be logging in. You're just going to be using the wiki to find out what you need to read for the next class. So the most important document on the wiki under ethics is going to be the reading schedule. Okay? The articles that aren't books on the reading schedule are on the other website. I'll show you how to access them in a minute. So when it says that you need to read for January 23rd, you don't start on January 23rd. You come to class on January 23rd having read those two readings, right? Both of those readings are in PDFs that I'll show you how to access. But there are things on the wiki that you will want to be able to contribute. In other words, there are occasions where I may ask you to post things to the wiki. There are things that you're going to probably locate on your own. I often get emails from students saying, hey, I came across this cool ethics link. You know, I just thought you might want to know about it. I tend to post those, or I tend to ask students to post those here. So one thing you could do on your to-do list would be to browse some of the other resources. It's kind of random. These are kind of some random links. But they connect ethics and popular culture sometimes. They kind of get you thinking about some of the reference points for ethics. Some of them, like the trolley problem, are really important in ethics, and we will be talking about them. Some of them are just random things that students wanted to share. You might want to look at The Cold Logic of Drunk People. That's a pretty interesting article. So anyway, you'll need to be able to contribute to the wiki, and the way you do that is to read the short guide to wiki edits, which is really straightforward. It's even easier than that guide makes it look. And then here's for your to-do list. I'd like you to, so using your handout, the first time you log in, what you'll do is you'll click on login in the upper right corner, and then you'll click on join Alfino. And then you'll use your GU network credentials for that, okay? And that's the only, and you only have to do that once. Once you're known to the wiki, then you just log in with your GU username and your GU network password, right? So you don't make up a password for this. You just register, and then you can use it. And so what you'll notice when you're logged in is that it looks like this. And what's changed is that there's an edit tab here. So when you go to the practice page, what I'd like you to do is click on the edit tab. And really, adding text to a wiki is like this. Okay, this is not hard. And then you click down here and you save. Okay, but what I'd like you to do is actually copy this and fill in your name and introduce yourself. And you can put in a link to something you find interesting, or you could just say who you are. It doesn't have to be a lot. I just want to know that you can add text to the wiki so that when assignments come up, opportunities come up to share things using the wiki, that I don't get an email from you and say, hey, Alfino, put this on the wiki. It's really cool. You do it. You see what I mean? That would be one example of how you would use the wiki. Like I said, most of the time, you're not logging in to use the wiki. You're just reading information off of it, okay? So make sure that's on your to-do list. We'll review your to-do list before you leave. But that's something I'd like to be able to do. Okay? The other website is also linked from alfino.org. And that you click on courses, and that takes you to the course management website. On your handout, it's called courses.alfino or course management website. Are you guys with me? Let's use that nonverbal. You with me? Good? Okay. And this one you will need to log into because this is going to have great information. It's going to be where you turn in assignments. It's kind of like my version of Blackboard. But since I really don't like Blackboard, I really like this program. I use it. To log in, we need to populate the roster, and that hasn't happened yet. So, but I'd like you all to do, if you have your phones with you, you don't have to do this, so if you don't have a phone, it's not a big deal. But if you have your phones with you, I'd like you to go to the wiki, go to the ethics class, tell me when you're there, alfino.org, wiki, ethics, everybody there? You can answer a text message while you're at it. That's okay. I'm in ethics class. I'm having a really good time. Okay, and then if you're all there, then click on roster information and fill out that form. And we are. Are you here or are you one step back?
I'm right there.
Good. Then you'll see a form called roster information.
Okay.
And we are the...
So we first need to go through the ethics.
Right.
And
right. Help each other out. And then fill out this form. We're the... So we're section 14, right? You can use any email you like.
Oh, okay.
We're good over here.
You getting there? Okay, guys, getting it? Submit. Okay, and you'll get an email from me saying that the roster has been populated and you can log in to alfino.courses with the email and password you just sent in on the form. So maybe you should jot down that. If you don't know that, if you're not sure that you'll remember that password, jot it down on something so that you can log in. And that's really important because you'll need to log in to get the PDFs to read for Monday. So when I send you that email, don't delay too long to check out that it works, because sometimes little quirks happen, like a letter gets in wrong and it's you don't log in or something, you forget your password. I can help you with all of that, okay? Questions about this? Are we in? Okay. So once you're in courses.alfino, you can look at assignments. So maybe this is a good time to talk about the assignments in the class. Again, I'm kind of having trouble with the lighting. Do you guys feel like this lighting's okay and you'll stay awake? This is okay? All right, good. All right. So a slightly unusual thing about my courses is that I use grading schemes, which means that I specify some required elements for you, and then you can specify the weight range within those, and you may choose optional assignments if you want. So the required assignments are, and you can kind of see them because there'll be a little box here that says required, right? At the end of the semester, you'll write 2 short essays, so those are our final essays. Everything in the course except quizzes is open book, open note. So the essays will be written, you'll write them at home having access to all your notes and texts from the semester. And those can be between 20 and 30% of your grade. Then we're also going to write position papers on 2 issues. One of them is going to be on our obligations to people in absolute poverty. And position papers can range from 25 to 35%.
And how many of those did you
have? There's going to be 2 of them. So, you know, each one's either 12.5% or 17.5%. And then there's something that I call Q and R, but I forgot why I called the R part. I don't know what the R stands for anymore. But
But these are going to be short assignments that are point-based. Most of them will be like...
The quizzes will be 3 to 5 points. There'll be some short writing, like paragraph length. There'll be a couple of projects, a couple of assignments under Q&R where you're in a small group and you have to write something as a group and submit it, and it gets looked at. And so that ranges from 25 to 35%. And so the basic idea is that right now all of you, by default, have a higher percentage in your grading scheme. So you you all will have complete grading schemes without choosing anything optional. You see the point? Your nonverbal is pretty good, I have to say, by the way. Keep it up. But if you want to do any of the optional assignments, then you can reduce the percentage of the required elements down to the minimum, anywhere between them. And so why would you want to do that, right? Why would you want to do anything but what's required? And it's a fair question. The answer might be, I don't. That's fine. But people sometimes choose optional assignments because they interest them. For example, it's not unusual in my ethics class for there to be one or two book groups. You can form book groups with the earlier section, too. You'll be able to see them on the roster in a couple of days. So you probably say, oh, I know that person. Maybe you, and I'll suggest some book titles. Some of you, sometimes students come forward with a book that came into their awareness, and oh, this is about ethics, it's about values, it's interesting, let's do this. For instance, some of the environmental studies majors will often come forward with a book that connects ethics and environmental studies. So that's up to you, but a book group is fun. You meet a couple times, you turn in a journal. One of the things about optional assignments is they often have higher grades. They're often graded more by completion. So the book group they tend to have, higher grades than, say, the quizzes. Generally, the reading quizzes will be among your lower grades in the course, and that's a place where I'm going to really encourage you to put some energy because that drives the process. So I'm going to say more about that in a minute. But another optional assignment, this one might sound a little weird, but, any class presentation... The normal version of this is to do a class presentation. A few semesters ago, I had an unusual request from a student who said, hey, can I do a class presentation but just kind of like teach the class with you? Yeah, it is a little unusual, isn't it? Yeah. But a student I knew, and it was like, oh, yeah, and he wanted to be a teacher, and so it sounds maybe normal. So if you want to do a class presentation on a topic of your choice, great, let's do it. It could be connected with an optional research paper or not. If you want to, just pick a class and we teach it together, I've done it, two or three times now. I don't get a lot of takers, but it's kind of fun. And so it changes our pattern a little bit, and we do this more like an interview kind of thing. And so if you want to do that, I'd be happy to co-teach with you. Critical analysis paper is optional in the class. If you're a journal writer, you can choose journals at 5 or 10%. 3 entries for 5%, 6 for 10%. Journals are a great way, if you like writing journals, they're a great way for us to have a kind of line of communication, which is kind of separate from the class meetings. So it's up to you. Position papers are required, Q&R is required. And then sometimes what happens in class is something comes up and you're like, I want to answer this question. You have a very specific question that we don't have an answer to. And so you might write a 2 to 4 page paper called a short research paper. And your goal is usually just to find an answer to the question, right? So it might be like tracking down research on a topic. It could be anything. But it's usually a pretty short assignment. So that range is between 5 and 15%. Okay? Questions about the assignment choices in general? No? I'm getting no nonverbal. I want to mention that, by the way. Puzzled? Okay? No. Okay. Okay, so the other thing to point out is that many of these have drop boxes. Oh, I'm sorry, the drop boxes aren't active yet, but drop boxes are what they say, they're places where you would upload an assignment. And you may have noticed as I was going through these that some of them said no need for anonymity, others said don't put your real name on. One of my pedagogical methods, other colleagues are doing this too, is to make use of pseudonyms and anonymity in some of our assignments. And it's really pretty interesting. So each of you will get a Catholic saint name. And that will be your saint name, your grade pseudonym. And you really need to keep that secret, even if you don't care whether other people see your names. There are other reasons why you don't want to disclose that, just because it'll mess up some assignments. Also, you'll have that saint name the whole semester. When you turn in assignments to the Dropbox pseudonymously, I'll remind you not to put your name on the assignment. You could use your student number if that helps you. But you'll get an animal name as a pseudonym when you turn in an assignment. So that allows us to do some pretty cool stuff. For example, after each quiz, you'll get an email from me with a little spreadsheet with all the saint names and all the points. And that allows you to do two things. It allows you to check to make sure I scored your quiz right, and it allows you to see how you did. You know, maybe you got 3 out of 4 questions, but maybe that's better than most people. And that's important because the Q&R grade is a curved grade. The Q&R grade basically is we're going to have a spreadsheet at midterms and at finals that's going to rank, you know, everybody top to bottom. And then by percentage, based on total points available. And then I'm going to do two things. I'm going to look at the outliers at the bottom. Hopefully there won't be that many, right? Like people who are many points below the bottom group. Sometimes there's outliers, and sometimes those outliers will get grades below a B minus. But my goal, and I think I'm generally pretty good at getting this to happen, my goal is to get most everybody, if not everybody, between an A and a B minus for your grade distribution. Now with the quizzes, that's going to require some curving up because the quizzes are a little tough. Those are going to be the things that you find probably the most difficulty to do well consistently. We're going to do quizzes pretty consistently through the early part of the term, and then we're going to vary it a little bit. Some days we won't have a quiz, some days you might have a group writing experience that you have to turn in class. Other days you might go home and write a paragraph for me. So as we build knowledge and content in the class, we're going to start moving away from consistent quizzes, although we'll do quizzing throughout the semester, and we're going to move toward, you know, higher order kinds of things that we want to be able to accomplish. The other thing I should point out on this, and I want to take any questions you have, but one question some of you might have already is, can you make up a quiz? And I'm really happy that I've moved away from my initial position. My initial position was, no, I don't know how to do that. You know, I don't want to arbitrate people's excuses. But, you know, I do like to negotiate with students. And last semester, a class negotiated with me, but I said, look, I'm not happy with this no makeup kind of thing. How should we do this? And so what we hit on was this. If you're sick or you're representing Gonzaga off campus, you let me know, and you will not be penalized if there was a quiz that day. What will happen is you won't get a 0, you'll get nothing. And so at midterms, the point totals for each of you are going to be different. You see what I mean? So some of you are going to be, you know, your Q&R score is going to be out of 35 points, and others are going to be out of 40 points. But it's going to be a percentage based on that. So is that clear? Okay. So there are excused absences from quizzes. If it's a writing exercise that you can turn in outside of class, then there's no need to excuse you. You can just do it, right? You just don't have to do it in class. There are excused absences, but we don't make up quizzes. Does that sound okay? If there's anything about anything in the class that you want to kind of open up for discussion to negotiate, I love doing that. I just think it's great. You guys often have pretty good ideas about how to approach assignments, and so I think I've kind of learned from that. I think that'll be our approach, unless you guys mutiny on me or something like that. Okay. Any questions? Okay, so that gives you a little bit of an idea of how you'll be evaluated and what kinds of possibilities you might have for optional assignments. If you might need to get into the course a little bit before you can know, whether you want to choose any of those things. We're almost done. Oh, yeah. So, like I said, the most challenging thing early in the class is going to be to come to class having done the reading and having gotten the main things from the reading. And my promise to you is that the quiz questions will be easy to get right if you did the reading. And my hope is they'll be hard to guess if you didn't, although sometimes, sometimes you're going to get lucky. They're multiple choice. And so they should be. So sometimes we throw out a question because everybody groans and says, that was a little too specific. But generally, I've gotten a little bit better from, I didn't used to give quizzes at all. I mean, I spent most of my career never giving a quiz. But I came to the conclusion that really it's driving the process. And you guys have these schedules and demands on you so that everybody else is asking you for stuff. And if your humanities professor doesn't do that, guess what happens? You make a rational decision. You turn in the assignment that you needed to turn in that was due that day, and since nothing was due here, you just come and you listen, right? And I used to teach that way, and I was happy to do that. Oh, you're all busy. Just read sometime. And it really doesn't work, And as there was a kind of a ratcheting up of the assignments that you guys have to do a lot of assignments compared to your counterparts 20 years ago. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure. We can talk about that. But do you feel this sometimes? Once the semester gets going, there's just a lot of tasks. And a lot of your professors are asking you to be ready to do something for many classes. So anyway, reading drives the process in philosophy. And I want to be really clear. It's not because our goal is to just learn the reading material. This is not a content course in that sense. Doing philosophy isn't just about learning material. It's a really interesting and distinct activity. And I'm really excited always as a professor to try to help people do philosophy. So I'm going to talk about philosophical method almost every class, especially at the beginning. But you can do philosophy naively without reading. I mean, there's a lot of armchair philosophy. That's how most people realize they're philosophers, is they find themselves just thinking philosophically. But you can't get better at philosophy without immersing yourself in really rich content, because it's like the fuel. Am I right? Can you see why this might be true? I don't know if you can tell if I'm right or not, but it really drives the process. So our goal isn't just to learn the reading material, but we have to do that if we're going to take the next step. Because when you do philosophy from a really rich basis, from having really inspiring or informative reading to work from, it's a lot better. I mean, it's great to have a philosophical conversation in an apartment or a dorm late at night. That's great. You should do that too. And you don't need to read before you do that. But the kind of progress I want us to make in doing philosophy really requires that. So my advice to you is, this is kind of, we can review our to-do list and make sure we're on this. But my advice to you is what I call the prep cycle. And it's a little corny to call it that, but it's basically you need to protect your reading, right? Reading is really difficult. Am I right? Reading is a really difficult kind of time to claim. Because you're so busy, right? It just gets squeezed. And reading is a kind of activity that's hard to do while you're while you have all these gizmos going off and texting you and interrupting you. So my suggestion is, if you've got a good approach to reading, if you're a good natural reader and you have no trouble concentrating on your reader, you don't need my advice. But if getting reading time has been an issue for you, then take some steps. Put it on your list. Make reading time special, wall it off, isolate yourself if you need to, give yourself candy bars to eat, whatever's going to make it happen, right? Do that, because it really drives the process in becoming a better philosopher. There's a limit to how far you can go if you're just trying to work with what's on the top of your head. Okay, so read. I'll try to put little focus notes on the reading schedule. They're not there now. Track the study questions. Every class has 3 to 5 study questions. So when you come into class, you'll see those on the screen. They're on the wiki. You'll always be able to access them. You're welcome to bring laptops and devices to class. When you leave each class, you should be in a position to give a good answer to a study question, each study question. And once we move beyond quizzes, will be one of the things. One of the first exercises, paragraph length exercises, will be for you to answer something that's like a study question, right? It'll be encompassed by the study questions. So if you're responding to the study questions, you'll never be surprised by anything I ask you in the class. I will never ask you a question or essay prompt that isn't included or comes under the study questions already. So the study questions kind of limit the domain of stuff I can ask you about. So if you're tracking the study questions, you're in good shape. Does that make sense? Okay. My best students, I know there's going to be a small percentage, but the best students I know go after class and they go back and look at the study question. They jot a few notes down. One of the key things to know about this course, as I mentioned, is that everything but the quizzes will be something that you can do without time pressure, with all your notes and access to the internet, right? There are no memory tests in this course. You're not going to come into a room where we find out how much you can remember from the reading. I used to do that. The advice to take away from that is that your notes that you take in class are kind of your first effort to express, in your own words, ideas that we're talking about in class. But you're going to see notes on the screen, and then we're going to be talking. And so your goal should be to make it so that your notes are like a roadmap that will take you back into the class notes and to the readings. See what I mean? Because when you go to answer a question, a complicated question in the class, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be, that was this day and this day, and we said this, and then on the screen he had that, and then that was the reading. So you're going to be trying to connect the dots. Somebody, can I get some nonverbal on this? Okay, you're going to be trying to connect the dots. You're not going to be trying to memorize everything, okay? And that's most of what I wanted. Okay, hang on. Let's make sure we're there. Let's go through our list. So let's update your to-do list, and then we'll be done for today. So there's a form. We didn't talk about this. There's a form on the wiki called Tell Me. I'd like you to, at some point, not now, fill out that form with your name, with your real name. So put in your to-do list, fill out Tell Me with real name. That's just a little introduction exercise. Then I'd like you to go to the wiki. I'll give you 3 points if you do this by Friday. I'd like you to log in and go to the practice page where you saw that little exercise where you can kind of copy paste and put your name. Maybe put a link in, show me how that you can do that. And that's also kind of an introduction to each other. Both classes are going to appear on that practice page by Friday. You'll get an email once the rosters are posted, and then you make sure you can log into courses.alfino, get your readings for Monday. By the way, I know this is an issue. It's completely up to you how you want to do this. You paid a lot of money for this course. I know it's kind of invisible to you because you guys have benefactors, right? Many of you who pay your bills, right? Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, you paid a lot of money for this course. For $7 more, you could print all the PDFs. Now, I know we have environmental studies majors, we have people who are trying to be conscious about using resources. It's not a lot of resources, and the research is still coming out that reading from print, especially for deep reading, deep comprehension, reading from print works better. We haven't cognitively made the transition yet. Although I read plenty of books off screens, you know, I mean, like you guys, I read a lot of stuff off screens. I just wanted to put it out there. Consider printing the PDFs. And if you don't print them, then don't print them and bring them to class, because that's another use, right, is that you mark them up, and then when we're talking, you have something to refer to, find things. If you don't do it with a piece of paper, then bring a device that has it. You know, I'm amazed. Some of you can actually do this off your phones. You're scrolling. Like 50-page talk. If you want to bring a phone, a tablet, a laptop, that's fine. Because it's really going to be, you know, it's going to be easier and more and richer if you can access the readings while we're talking about them. So my preference would be that you consider printing. Either way, make sure that you're sitting in the class with access to the reading somehow. Okay.
Sorry, there's two books that you need to get. I should update this. There's Jonathan Haidt, The Righteous Mind, which is up there. Could you write it on your to-do list? You don't need the second one immediately, but it's a book that's just been updated by Peter Singer called One World Now. It's not in the bookstore. I didn't decide on it until recently. It's an update of a book that he wrote a few years ago called One World. It's about globalization ethics. A lot of really interesting issues in there. But he updated it to make the fact base of it more current, so it's a 2016 book. Again, choose paper or Kindle, whatever you like. Just try to make sure you have access to the texts and in class. Questions? Okay, we finished 2 minutes earlier than we wanted to. How funny.